It's called Let's Keep the Flames of Hope Alive. Never Let the Fires Die. Let's keep the flames of hope alive and never let the fires die. Take the lie of the lie.
Hi, this is Steve Fulton.
This is Jeff Fulton.
And this is the Never Let the Fires Die, the Alarm Podcast.
And today, Steve, what is our subject?
Our subject today is the song Alarm, Alarm. Do you remember, Jeff, the first time you heard the song Alarm, Alarm?
It had to have been on the Tour Flexi disc. And I think it would be when we got this, sometime like some 7-inch, some 12-inch single that we purchased at the Warehouse or Music Plus or something.
Nope.
In 1986 or something.
Nope. Nope, nope. So the song, the Alarm Alarm, the bit of it that Alarm fans knew of during the original first career of the Alarm, first 10 years, was only on the Absolute Tour Flexi disc. And that was not something that we ever were privy to or could get until many years later.
Right, right. You traded and for it or something.
I traded for it, but that's not where we heard it. So the first time we heard it was, there used to be a great record store here in the South Bay called Go Boy Records.
Oh, that was a great store.
And they had we could go down there, especially during the alarm, during Eye of the Hurricane and Change and those records, and pick up the singles and CD singles that started coming out. And I remember there was a guy who worked there, and he saw me buy an Alarm record. He had lived in San Diego or something, and he really liked the Alarm. And the next time I came in, he gave me a cassette. And on that cassette was, it was the first Alarm bootleg I'd ever heard before. And I still have it in the box in the garage. But on there was a live show, I think was from a, some sort of radio show disc. Because the first commercial that comes in is like a Levi's commercial. And then it goes into the Alarm playing Second Generation.
Let me explain something different about the entire rest of the country and the UK and Europe and us with getting, bootlegs. In the New York City area, there was a guy named Tim, not going to say his last name, who was the super bootleg guy. In the UK, bootlegs were traded. You could only get them through the mail and things like that. Out here in California, we had none.
Nothing. We had nothing.
None. Zero.
So this bootleg I got from the guy, one side had a live show and it had Alarm played Second Generation, part of Second Generation. So I'm like, wow, that's a song I never heard before. But the second side of that tape had Unsafe Building, Up for Murder, and then the entire Tour Flexi was on it.
Right.
And I was blown away. I was blown away just to have a tape that had a bunch of Alarm songs I never heard before. But I was especially interested in the fact that this was on it.
Next up is a fragment of the song that we took our name from. The song's called Alarm, Alarm. And it was Eddie's idea that we should name the band after a song I'd written when I was in school. It was probably the first sort of positive thing I'd ever really done. There's not much of it on here, unfortunately, because Eddie heard another song in the middle of us playing it.
How frustrating.
That's really frustrating. Thanks, Eddie.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's frustrating because, as Jeff mentions, Mike says that Eddie heard a different version, a different song in there before they could get going. It's Alarm, Alarm up until the chorus. And then it disappears.
Something else.
And so it's an interesting sounding song. It doesn't sound like the Alarm songs that we were used to at the time, or any of the time. It sounds a little different. I can't put my finger on exactly what it sounds like, but I know that Mike Peters used to tell, or still does, and all, and when he does his 30th anniversary shows, and when he does his shows for like Alarm Stock and Alarm 2000 Day,
he wants to tell Alarm stories.
He tells the story about naming the band, and it goes like this.
Now this is a song, I suppose, is a bit of a legend in Alarm folklore. This is the song which the name of the band came from. This is a song which was originally entitled Alarm Alarm. And we only changed the name to the Alarm because John Peel, we wrote to him about a gig, playing the gig called Alarm Alarm, and he said, he read out this thing on the radio saying, oh, there's all these bands out there called Talk Talk and Duran Duran, and now there's another one called Alarm Alarm. Perhaps I should think about changing my name to John Peel, John Peel. So I said, right, we'll call the Alarm now, lads.
Oh, yeah.
Now, right after Mike tells that story, which is from Alarm Stock 2, I believe, he then plays a version of Alarm Alarm that doesn't sound like the one we just heard. Let's hear some of it.
My 10 fingers fitted, I can't keep cool. My body starts to tremble against my will. Alarm, alarm, I have no reason to be here. Alarm, alarm, why do I have to come here? Alarm, alarm, this ain't no place for me. Alarm, alarm, I wish I'd never been saved. What happened to my best mates? What happened to me? I thought that I could take it.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that
that's
is like
a different song.
Yeah, so that apparently is the Toilets version of Alarm Alarm.
But you know what? It still sounds like a Cox Bar song.
It sounds like a classic punk rock song. But let me ask you a question. How is that song related to the song we heard from the Tour Flexi?
I don't know.
It sounds like they're not related at all. So Mike says that they pulled the name The Alarm from a toilet song. But there happens to be another version of the song that is definitely not that version that we just heard. But before we get there, I heard another song in that song. So some of the people in the USA might recognize this reference, but maybe in the UK and around the world, you won't.
The show is in the UK.
If you ever saw the show Chips, which is the California Highway Patrol show with John and Ponch and Eric Estrada and Larry Wilcox, and it ran from like 1978 to 1983 or 84. In about 1981 or 82, there was an episode, a classic episode of Chips called, it was the punk rock episode.
With Snow Pink.
And Paunch sings Celebration.
Celebration by Kool and the Gang.
But there's also, and by the way, Snow Pink just sings new wave covers of Beatles songs,
right.
Who is Susan from It Is Enough, but who cares? Anyway, there is a band called Pain, and they have a song called Pain, which sounds eerily similar to Alarm Alarm. Let's play a little bit of it right now. Okay, so it's not exactly Alarm Alarm, but you can hear it in there, right?
I like that song.
It's a classic, it's a great song. It's a classic punk sound, right? Like that's, like, I feel like every band, every punk band that starts up writes that song in their bedroom at some point.
I think I have an idea right now for what it's going to be, the little song that we insert as an Easter egg into the end of this podcast.
Do you have an idea? So what's interesting about that is, so it's a classic punk rock song, and it sounds closer to what the Alarm were doing after Unsafe Building and in that really early, you know, sound of like marching on from 1981 to 1983, and you wonder why they didn't pull that version out and play it, and how come it was never played while the Alarm was a band, a going concern? Except for that one time on the Tour Flexi when they were, by the way, the Tour Flexi was a recording done when the Alarm were warming up for recording the Strength album, and they went to the studio to play a bunch of songs. So that's what that was for. So it's about 1985 when that was recorded, and it definitely is not the punk version that we heard before. So it makes me wonder what is the real version of Alarm Alarm?
Yeah, we're going to have to find out.
Well, you know what? There's another recorded version that came out in 2013, I believe, on the soundtrack to the vinyl film. It's Alarm Alarm. And let's play it. So when I heard the vinyl soundtrack, that is absolutely my favorite song.
Mine too.
It sounds like the Stranglers.
Stranglers, well, mixed with the Toy Dolls.
Sorry, it sounds like the Toilets, Mike Peters' Alarm post 2001, and the Toy Dolls.
Toy Dolls.
It's like
bit,
a little yeah. Nelly the Elephant in there.
Yeah, exactly.
It's got a little, you know, a little bit of a lot of the Stranglers, I think, with the keyboards in there.
Well, I love that keyboard.
That's
part.
A great song, but if you listen to it, that version of Alarm Alarm, and then think about the other ones that we heard before, they're like three different songs.
Yeah, that's three different songs.
So here's the question:
we're at Let the River Run Its Course territory.
Yeah, I mean, what now? I'm even more confused now.
Is this really another version of Strength to Strength? Just kidding.
It's interesting because this is. Like, this should be the quintessential Alarm song, if you think about it, right? Like, it should be the song that everybody's meant to. This is where the name came from. This is the inspiration for the entire band. Is it? I don't know if it is or not. But I'm saying that it seems like it should be. And it's sort of morphed over the years. Mike has kind of turned it into whatever it needed to be, almost.
Yes, exactly.
So those are all the versions of Alarm Alarm that people have heard. However, we were able to dig up a version that the Toilets actually played back, I think it's 1977 or 1978. The quality is not good. We'll try to boost the audio and play it as much as we can, but you can hear now what the original version of Alarm Alarm sounded like when the Toilets played it. So, I think we have part of our answer here. I mean, that sounds a lot like the one on the vinyl soundtrack.
It sounds a lot like it without Mike Peters singing. So who's singing there?
I think that's Glenn Cross singing. You know what? We're going to have to ask Mike.
Yeah, we'll ask Mike that.
Hopefully, there'll be some bits and pieces of Mike Peters answering some of our questions inside this podcast. Maybe not. Mike has been extremely busy lately, so I don't know if he's going to be able to do it.
Right now, it's Friday the 26th. He just played a festival today in the UK.
Right. Bravely played a festival, if you ask me, but after what's been going on over there.
Exactly.
So that sounds to me, if we go on just the information we have now, the quintessential version of Alarm, Alarm is the one on the vinyl soundtrack, because that's the one that feels like it was the most fully realized version.
Right, and it sounded like Mike actually trying to change his voice slightly to sound like who was singing the song too.
Yeah,
and again, Nella the Elephant comes up to me in that.
It sounds like that. You know what's funny? I noticed this when I look at the list of songs. This is from a Toilets live CD that I got somewhere. I don't even know where it came from. I don't know if it's widely available or I only have a copy. I can't remember, and I don't know. But there's also a song called James Bond on there, and I don't think I listened to it or couldn't hear it, but I remember the Toy Doll song called James Bond, which is, you know, James Bond lives on my street. Anyway, great song. So I think, like, is there a crossover somehow mentally and spiritually between the Toy Dolls and the Toilets?
Could be. They both have a toy.
They do. The Toilets, the Toy Dolls. Oh my God, that's too close.
I think we're going down the wrong path.
Okay, but you know what? Since we're on the name, the Alarm, there was another song that that Mike Peters recorded in 2008, and then I believe it was 2008 for the Counterattack Collective.
Yes.
And then released on Guerrilla Tactics. Before we talk about it, let's listen to a little bit of it, Jeff.
This is the sound of the future calling. Breaking news on the hour every day. This is the sound of tomorrow now. The revolution will be broadcast wherever you are. Wherever you stand, this is the sound of the alarm calling, the sound of the 4-minute warning, the sound of the alarm calling to the outside. Too much broken.
Okay, what do you think of that one? Go ahead.
That one's really good, but it's not the same song at all. It sounds a little like The Clash.
I think it's Mike trolling the people who said the Alarm sound like The Clash by making a song
that sort of sounds
like The Clash. But I mean, that's the only other song that references the actual name of the band, which is
Alarm,
interesting.
Yeah.
You know, maybe bands don't normally.
The Alarm Calling.
Yeah, The Alarm Calling, which is interesting. It came so late. You know, and Mike was really playing at that time, really digging back to get to the heart of what the band sounded like, or I don't even know what the Alarm sounded like. Like what he missed, I guess. I don't know.
So,
you know,
yeah,
like
all of Guerrilla Tactics, Direct Action, and the five or six like maxi singles, I'm gonna call them, that came before it to create those two records, those were basically, it was the Bond 2. But it was also sort of going way back, way, way back.
Yeah.
To, I mean, like, I'm going to be punk rock.
I mean, it sort of sounds a little bit like the spirit that's in that version of Alarm, Alarm. Right.
Exactly.
I mean, it sounds like, you know, like it sounds like that live thing we heard. It sounds like the acoustic version. It sounds a little bit like the Pain song. Like, there's a little bit in there about, like it going back to the basics. You know, I think there's a little bit of Mike going back to what inspired him to begin with.
Right. And then two really good records, by the way, came out of those, right? I mean, Guerrilla Tactics and
Direct Action.
Direct Action. Two fantastic records just full of, like, you know, punk rock songs, 3/7 Clash. I mean, this thing is just chock full of these incredible Plastic Carrier Bags.
Oh my God, that's one of my favorite songs.
Would come out.
But I think Alarm Calling to me is Mike finally making a song that he thought deserved the name of the band. I think that's what that song is. But it still begs the question. the first version of Alarm Alarm we played sounds like none of that, right? He says they're playing the song. He says it's the first song they ever recorded.
Where is it?
Where is it? Well, Mike actually sent us the first recorded actual version of Alarm Alarm, recorded between when the band was sort of changing their name from 17 to The Alarm. I think you'll hear something very interesting in this sound. We're going to play as much of it as we can because it's very interesting.
Unreleased demo.
Unreleased demo that probably almost no one that's listening to this now has ever heard before. Get ready for the version of Alarm Alarm you've never heard. Tell me,
there it
what,
is.
What one band does that song remind you of? Stray Cats.
Stray Cats.
It sounds like Runaway Boys by the Stray Cats.
Stray Cats, a combination of Stray Cats and a little clashy in there.
You know, it even honestly a little bit Adam and the Ants.
A little Adam and the Ants.
A little
Ants
Adam
for sure.
And the Ants. A little bit of Bow Wow Wow in that song.
You need another drummer. But yeah. Yes, I get what you're
so,
saying.
So, I mean, that, to
I mean,
me, if you listen to the lyrics of that song, that is an Alarm song. This is recorded in 1981. This is before the Alarm played their first gig, but after 17 broke up. Hopefully Mike can tell us a little bit about when exactly this was recorded.
And who recorded it.
So what do you think about finally hearing what I believe is the quintessential version of Alarm Alarm? It's not the punk rock song that Mike pretty much admitted, you know, that that's the version that inspired the band. This is the Alarm of 1981 in reinterpreting that song to start their career. To me, this is the jumping off point.
Yeah.
Inspired by the Stray Cats.
Inspired by the Stray Cats because they just finished the tour. Probably had nothing to do with Dexy's Midnight Runners because they had just been kicked off.
Yeah, nothing to do with
right?
that.
But I mean, to me, it sounds it could fit right in with the other songs on the EP and all the early B-side tracks that we
yeah.
have heard.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a 4-track or 8-track recorded demo for sure. But as demos go, of some of the songs we played here, like Georgie, the first sort of weird demo we played, it's vastly better. I mean, it's a really good recording of a song.
Yeah, it's a clear, bright 4-track recording. I mean, it sounds good.
I would hope that someday we can hear a full Alarm band record that song the way it's meant to be recorded, just like the one they did on the vinyl film.
Well, I would
soundtrack.
Like to hear.
Because think about it, it's a completely different song. It's actually two different songs.
Right, exactly. It's I like, want to hear this version
it's
at some point.
Totally reinterpreted for the sound they had at
you
the time.
You know where it worked really good? Jack Tars.
The Jack Tars might do
this
an
would be
awesome
a
version.
Perfect song for the Jack Tars because it's basically you got the right drummer for it. You got
yeah.
the right.
Well, player. Yeah, you've got the right. You got the guys. I mean, what do you think? Like, Captain Sensible and Slim Jim Phantom playing that song would be perfect.
Perfect. Exactly.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. So I agree with you about that. I'm happy. I mean, I think that when you get right down to it, the song Alarm Alarm is really a mythical song in the pantheon of the Alarm songs.
And it's the first one, to be honest.
It really is the first one. I mean, from the very beginnings of the Toilets, all the way up until, you know, the vinyl, which to me, vinyl is really the spiritual sort of on-film version of Mike Peters' life, even though it's not, you know, it's a different movie about other guys. But, I mean, the whole idea of that movie is sort of, you know, Mike's experiences. So having a song there, you know, recorded like, you know, that kind of sounds like, you said, like the Stranglers and the Toy Dolls.
Exactly.
It's great. But I really feel like something has been missing for Alarm fans, and that's that version we just played.
Right. Right. It harkens all the way back, and the that version, that demo version next to the version on the soundtrack, two different songs.
I mean,
with the same name.
Yeah, two different songs with the same name.
But they're both fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, they're both good songs. So, man, I think it's so much fun to unearth these old tracks,
and we got a lot.
We have more. Hopefully we'll get more permission to play some other tracks that I think people will be really interested in. But you know, I think it's great to, you know, almost a year to the day that we did the Georgie song, we're going to put out another song for people to hear.
So Georgie was the final song,
and this is the first song.
Very interesting.
Uh huh.
Very, very interesting.
So we did get Mike Peters to graciously answer some of our questions about this song, and here's that interview right now. First question, Mike. When was the 1981 demo of Alarm Alarm recorded?
The 1981 demo of Alarm Alarm was recorded at Hastings, actually in Battle, just outside Hastings. And it was part of an agreement we'd made with a producer whose name escapes me now, but it was to record some tracks with a view to getting a record deal, which never quite came off, and it was right on the eve of the Stray Cats tour. So I know it's referred to as the 1981 demo, but it was actually done in 1980, and it was the time when we landed the Stray Cats tour and we thought we could get a deal, and it was the demo that was being played to record labels before we played at the Marquee Club, the infamous night when John Lennon was assassinated in New York. And it was really life-changing day for myself. Peter Buckle, who was managing the band, had gone on holiday for 2 weeks before we played the Marquee and hadn't had a chance to drum up any interest, and there was no labels at the gig, and we felt that was a letdown from our point of view. We never turned up for a publisher's meeting the next day, and he accused me of being a loser, and I vowed to prove him wrong, which is, you see that in The Man in the Camo Jacket. But the demo was 17. It was myself playing acoustic guitar and bass, and Dave Sharp and Eddie on the guitars, like a twin guitar attack, and Twist was on the drum kit, and myself on lead vocals, and we were really good backing vocal band at that point in 17. We spent a lot of time learning how to sing really good backing vocals with a guy called Pete Carr, who was from North Wales, who had been in a band called The Resistance, and he pulled myself, Eddie and Nigel out of live gigs for a couple of months and just had us working on backing vocals and songwriting arrangements. So I think you can hear that we're really well drilled band at that time. So we had a lot to put out there.
Okay, so why does that 1981 demo, or now as you say the 1980 demo, why do you think that sounds so much different from the Toilets version of the same song?
The demo that we recorded at Battle in Hastings was a completely different song from the very original Toilets song, Alarm Alarm. I think it shared a similar theme, but it was a very much a different song. And I can't really put my finger on why we called it Alarm Alarm, because it was so different. But it did become known as the first song that we wrote that gave its name to the band. But the version that was on the Flexi disc with Absolute and this version from Hastings was a complete rewrite. And you can hear in that sort of shuffly, skiffly style of playing that it was probably influenced by the Stray Cats, a bit of glam rock meets rockabilly. but it's not really got a lot in common with the very original Toilets version, other than the title.
Ah, so we did hit onto it. It does sound like they're two completely different songs. So then, why do you think the Alarm never released that version of the song in any real form?
I think we never released Alarm Alarm because it didn't feel like it was part of what the Alarm was. It was definitely a song from the 17 era, certainly the 1980-81 version, as it gets referred to, but it was definitely something that we saw as being part of the past rather than the future. We thought that was a track that maybe might have kicked the doors down for 17. So I think when it nothing came of those recordings, and the idea had been to try and create master recordings that sounded so good a record label wanted to put them out, but it just didn't work out like that. I think the thing with 17, it was a real breeding ground for what became the Alarm, but we were a good entertainment as 17, but we didn't have anything that people could take home with them. We didn't leave a lasting impression other than entertaining people on the night. People thought we were a great band or a good band, but we were forgettable. That was the problem for 17. We didn't really stick the knife in deep enough.
So what do you consider the definitive version of Alarm Alarm?
To me, the definitive version of Alarm Alarm is the version that you hear on the vinyl soundtrack. That came about because Sara Sugarman, who's the director of the film, had seen the Toilets play in 1977 at Eric's in Liverpool, and she asked me if I'd recreate those songs for the soundtrack album. And I had only one cassette tape recording of those songs, and I went back to that and took the tempos, reacquainted myself with the songs, and so recorded Alarm Alarm as it was written, as it was intended, with the original lyrics. Phil Daniels, who was the lead actor in Vinyl, came to play in the soundtrack, and there were similarities in him that I could see with O'Malley, who was the original singer of the Toilets, so he sang on the track with us. And so I think that version of Alarm Alarm on Vinyl is as close as you'll get to what the Toilets would have sounded like in 1977.
Yes, I love that version. So how did you develop the arrangement for that version for the vinyl soundtrack?
When we came to record the vinyl soundtrack, I had Smiley in his drums, and I asked James if he'd come up and play bass guitar. We wanted to do it as a trio, like the original Toilets incarnation, which meant myself playing guitar. So I reverted back to my role as guitarist. James came in to play the parts of Glyn Crossley, or Steve Shock as he was known, and Smiley came in to play like Nigel Twist, or Nigel Buckle as he was in the Toilets, but his name in the Toilets was Des Troy. So we tried to play at the same breakneck speed the Toilets played at. We took the tempos from the live gig tape that I had from Russell Owen, who's a hairdresser in Rill. He had a cassette recording of from the 1520 in Rill, and we took the tempos from that. We took the arrangements of the songs, kept them short, sharp, furious, just like they were intended to be. But Phil Daniels came in to do what he did with Blur and Park Life, be himself. But he, as I said earlier, he had there was an element about him that reminded me of O'Malley. He was very cocksure, very outgoing character, and he really reminded me of O'Malley, someone who just makes something for themselves out of nothing. And that was O'Malley, who was the lead singer of the Toilets. He was a real massive personality. He'd come from Coleraine in Northern Ireland, and I befriended him on the first day he came to Rill High School. He came late to our school, but became really great friends. His father was the Plaid Cymru representative for North Wales. And so O'Malley came this real Irish Welsh background. His father was Welsh speaking and as Welsh as you could be, and his mother was as Northern Irish as could be. And O'Malley was brought up in Coleraine and Rill, and he had a personality match. Everyone loved him. He was the life and soul of everything that happened wherever he went in the world. So with the vinyl recordings, we just tried to capture the spirit of what was the toilets, get it down as fast as we could. And Alarm Alarm was just, I've forgotten how good a song it was. You know, all those songs on vinyl that originated from the toilets, you can really see that the toilets would have been one of the classic punk bands, I think, if we'd found ourselves, if we'd had someone to guide us properly. The band had it all. It had a great lead singer. Who knows where it could have gone if we'd stayed together. Unfortunately, when we went to London in 1977 to play the Roxy in Covent Garden, and we got to London and we were so green that nothing happened for us. We didn't even get to play a gig. O'Malley got sucked into a whole drug culture that was the start of his downfall in a way. He never really came back from that, I'm afraid. And we got torn apart. We got fed to the wolves, and the wolves devoured us.
So there you have it, the story of Alarm Alarm. A story of endings, beginnings, deconstructions, and rebirths. If you think about it, it's really the story of the Alarm themselves. This has been Steve Fulton with Jeff Fulton for the Never Let the Fires Die podcast, the Alarm podcast. Thanks to Mike Peters for such a great interview. We'll catch you next time.